Patrick Dolan, we didn't get to hear too much from you while Mike Leonard rambled on, and some texters called him out about it. But Patrick, I'll turn on your mic now. You're here to tell us an interesting confluence of AI and the workplace. Tell us.
Yeah, and actually, this can apply to a bunch of different folks, and I think this is the wave of the future for litigation, John. So, a software engineer in North Carolina, but this certainly applies to folks around here, applied for a religious exemption from mandatory AI at work. That was her company's policy.
Like, hey, you're going to have AI as part of your job. I don't know whether it's generative AI or what it is, but it's going to be part of the job you have. Had she already had this job too for a while? Or?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And now there's a new policy, which a lot of companies have and becoming more prevalent, that you need to use the AI we supply you to do your job. Okay. And she said, I want it to be exempt from that for religious reasons.
Before we get into this exemption, generally speaking, those policies, there's nothing illegal about them on their face, right? I mean, this is just a tool we use here at this company. You've got to do it, just like any other tool that a company may have.
That's right. There's certainly nothing legal on its face about that policy, or frankly, a whole bunch of policies. It's how it's implemented and who gets exempt from those policies.
Right. I mean, they have to make accommodations, I'm sure, for through ADA and other things. But this woman is claiming a religious exemption.
Yes.
How?
You're already smirking.
I have been smirking since you told me this is what we were going to talk about.
I mean, and I think a lot of HR folks have been smirking too.
I mean,
but they shouldn't.
I might be convinced.
I tell you.
I might be convinced. So give it to us.
Well, I don't know if you're going to be convinced, but let me just set up an analogy. So, you know, how the whole vaccination COVID thing became a really big deal.
Right.
Folks wanted exemptions from mandatory vaccinations for religious reasons. This is the next wave for sure.
Okay.
This is brand new. It's coming.
And right? You think this will be, people will claim a religious exemption for AI?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Because let me tell you all the different ways they can.
Okay.
And they will. So for Erin, she was a Unitarian Universalist. So she said for ethical reasons and environmental reasons, her religious beliefs and tenets said that she should not have to use mandatory AI.
AI takes away jobs. It's unethical. AI uses big power plants or
water,
et cetera, et cetera. I mean, these are valid concerns that a lot of people have. Mike doesn't.
But here's Mike, before you
I didn't open
Okay, I know you're just going to tell.
Yeah, but you made a face.
You did
make a face.
I think a lot of people.
You can't see that on audio, guys.
Yeah, well, right. I think people should know. And I think a lot of people are making faces. But let's just take a step back and look what the law says as a foundation, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Under Title VII, okay, that bars religious discrimination and requires employees to reasonably accommodate sincerely held religious beliefs unless doing so causes an undue hardship for business. That's the standard that we apply to any sort of accommodation request with regard to religion.
Boy, there's a lot of wiggle room in that, but
there is,
right? I mean, you have to first prove that they're legitimately held. I don't know what the word was.
Sincerely
held.
We'll get into that.
Okay, so you go, keep going then. Sorry to interrupt you.
That's okay. And so now, remember, this is Title VII back in 1964. A case a couple years ago raised the bar even higher and said that employers now must show a substantial increased cost to them as a, quote, undue burden.
A business has to show, oh, no, this is really costing us
really
money.
Really tough. Yes, really tough. And here's where the analogy to the vaccine and COVID kind of falls down. Businesses said, oh, listen, this is a really big deal for us. If folks aren't vaccinated, they'll come into the workplace, they'll get other people sick, we'll lose business, we can lose, literally people might die, et cetera, et cetera.
I can see that. That makes sense.
Here, what we're talking about is really different. AI is really different. It really becomes an economics analysis saying if you don't use it, companies may say, if you don't use AI, you're going to be less efficient and you're going to cost us more money.
And you're going to have competitors who are more efficient and perhaps able to lower their costs to consumers, and you're not able to because you're running a less efficient ship. I think that clears my bar.
Here's how that fell down in what Erin Mouse said in this particular case. She said, I can do my job just as fast without AI as with AI. Hmm. Turns out she was right. So the company said, okay, for you, we will allow your religious exemption. What does that mean more broadly? All right? Now, remember, this isn't like people who have political, you know, problems or personal, you know, basis not to use AI. This is all rooted in religious beliefs. So it's not just, you know, her religion as a Unitarian. It's a whole bunch of other religions, anything you can think of.
Couldn't I make one up?
You can't make one up, John.
That's, I can't?
No, there are a lot of people who have tried over the year with regard to religious exemptions, not successful.
Okay.
Sincerely held, the court has said there has to be something that you practice in your life, not just at work. Now, what's a religious belief, quote unquote? That can be pretty broad. In here, I just, you know what's ironic? I asked Claude to give me, what the best arguments are for under religions as to which religious belief would allow them not to use Claude in the workplace.
Beep, boop, boop. AI is perfect. There's no good argument, Patrick. Did it tell you?
That is not
just
what
so the listeners know, that was John. It was so lifelike. The listeners know that was you.
I was like, who was that?
That's how I think AI talks to me like a robot from the 1950s.
No, my buddy Claude does not talk that way.
Okay, so what did Claude tell you? And so again, Claude is telling you legitimate reasons, right? Okay.
Now, remember, these have to be rooted in religions. Religious tenets that people can use to argue that they need a religious exemption.
Okay.
I'm telling you, we're going to see this in litigation. It's going to be a tidal wave. So let's just take Christianity and Catholicism. Okay. This is what Claude said. Okay. Quote, human reason as God given. Okay. There are certain tenets in under Catholicism and Christianity, they're given to me in Latin. And I don't remember my high school Latin well enough to know. Human reason is God-given. That's a religious tenet that people can say, you know, based on that, it violates my religious belief. Deceptive AI, okay, bearing false witness. Do you see where I'm going with this, John?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Idolatry, not adultery, idolatry. AI as an idol. It's not a human being. It's not, you know, it's replacing God as an idol. So these sorts of things can, you know, be brought up. People say, use of AI violates my religious beliefs and tenets under those certain things, for example. And as you, I don't know if you point out, the Pope.
Yeah,
the Pope provided an encyclical, really, really long encyclical about AI. The Pope did not say, don't use AI.
He did not.
He did not say workers should be allowed should not be forced to use AI. That's not what the Pope said. But it provided a whole bunch of reasons, i.e. religious beliefs and tenets, that people might be able to use as a basis for seeking a religious exemption.
The Pope was very worried about algorithms and laying off employees and that there is a moral obligation to keep people employed, et cetera, et cetera. That might be a stretch for someone, but I guess you could say, well, no, that's the Catholic Church suggesting that there are dangers to AI and perhaps provide a religious cover for why I shouldn't have to use it in the workforce? That's what you're kind of saying?
That is what I'm saying. And, you know, Claude gave me a bunch of other religious tenets that I think we're going to see. Judaism, all right? Human dignity. It violates human dignity.
I love how Patrick just put human dignity in quotes.
I didn't
know. Well, again, listeners can't see that, but he used that air quote. He used one set of fingers. You need two sets of fingers.
You're supposed to do both.
Yeah. So
it wasn't really meant to be an air quote. Human dignity is not an air quote.
Patrick doesn't really consider human dignity.
Right.
Dignity, air quotes.
This is not what I'm pushing.
Okay.
All right. But that's one reason. And it goes on. I mean, you've got a whole bunch of other tenets. What Claude really kind of zeroed in on are the Amish and Quaker folks.
Okay.
Who, he called it the cleanest case. They don't use, you know, they don't use technology. They're limited in their life. They certainly don't use it in any sort of work. They shouldn't be required to use it. It is not something they believe in, et cetera, et cetera. So you can, here's the bottom line, John. Every major religion will have tenets that folks can use as, I was about to do an air quote, religious beliefs. Maybe they're sincere, maybe they're not. That's something HR will have to sort of ferret out in talking to these people to try to get out of mandatory AI. I honestly think this is going to be a tidal wave of litigation on this issue.
I think most people will lose a case if it gets there because Okay, maybe in this specific example, this coder was able to show in a race against AI or something that she was able to be just as productive as the coding of the AI. First of all, I think AI is going to get better and better, and I think that more and more people are not going to be able to prove. Because even if you prove that first part, that you have sincerely held religious beliefs, if a company is able to prove they're losing dollars from it, you're telling me that that case no longer holds water, right?
Yeah, that, well, that's right. I mean, the undue hardship is a very high bar, though, remember.
Right. Okay, I know, but if you're saying lost dollars, I think that a lot of companies will be able to show that. I guess what I'm saying is I think the first part, showing sincere religious beliefs, that'll be pretty easy for people to prove that they have, and I could totally see ethical arguments against AI and being part of religion or environmental reasons. I just think that that second bar is going to get harder and harder to prove for the worker that they're better in AI, and hence the company is not losing money because they don't want to use it.
But everything you just described is a factual issue that's fodder for litigation.
Yeah.
That's what
that's
saying.
Fair. So a tidal wave, you're not saying they're all going to win.
Oh, no, not at all. I'm just saying this is going to be you're going to see a huge increase in religious exemption claims going to the EEOC than going to federal court. That's what I think.
Mike, any thoughts on this case?
Wow. You know, it's interesting because I typically represent plaintiffs in whistleblower cases, but sometimes in employment cases. And I think these arguments are going to meet with drastic failure. I mean, it's no different than arguing that I can't use a computer or I can't deal with this because my client is a hotel and they waste too much money on towels and water. I mean, where does this end? I just think it's an incredibly weak approach to litigation that's not going to have any success. Sorry, Patrick. That's just my view.
No, I'm just saying what I think is coming. I'm not saying it'll ever be successful.
Coming,
or not. Yeah. Oh, yeah, 100%.
And there were a lot of water analogies. Tidal wave, water. I don't know where this is going.
Claude. It came from Claude.
You guys even invoked the Pope. The Pope has just said it's 2-for-1 on dogs with onions at Sox Park. So that's just in.
That's more important than what we're talking about, clearly.
Oh, you guys are crazy. Okay, Patrick Dolan, 312-332-7800 is how they can reach you as an employment lawyer. Mike Leonard, LeonardTrialLawyers.com, federal defense attorney. Always great to chat with those two gentlemen. And you guys will be back soon, no doubt, here on Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association.